Folks, I have something to offer you today, something absolutely free from Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College, a great American college with a huge and effective educational outreach effort on behalf of liberty, is giving away free copies of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence in honor of Constitution Day this month. Hillsdale's immediate goal is to put a pocket Constitution into the hands of 1 million Americans who do not have one. And if you already have one, you can order one for a young person you know who doesn't. But this offer is only for a limited time. So claim your free pocket-sized constitution today at dana4hillsdale.com. Every American should be familiar with our nation's founding principles of liberty, and how better to learn that than reading America's founding documents? To have a free copy mailed to you, visit dana4hillsdale.com and complete a simple form. They'll put it in the mail for you with free shipping. And again, this offer expires soon, so claim your free pocket constitution today at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Mr. President,
he's not answering any questions. That was awkward. He just kind of looked at him, and then he was like, oh, I'm going to just walk away now. Just gonna go. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour. I'm not sick. It's dry in Texas. It's raining, but dry. Does that make sense? So I actually think I sound cooler. So don't give me, because people literally were emailing me yesterday. You sound under the weather. And then giving me all these, I know what to do. I'm fine. Thank you, though. I appreciate the concern. It's literally like dryness analogies. Dryness. All right. So the president, he was asked about impeachment. And he's not going to answer any of it. I don't think that the pushback that they have been organizing in terms of, can you believe they're doing this? They're just running through impeachment. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. That was like the full court press with MSNBC. I'm looking at, I saved like 10 articles. MSNBC, CNN, there's a piece, something at The Atlantic, a couple of, that's what they're trying to. They're accusing Republicans of doing what Democrats did. Let's be honest. They're accusing Republicans of just willy-nilly going through it and starting impeachment. And just they're ignoring the fact that it's an inquiry. So this is the investigative process that precedes the impeachment. You know, the thing they skipped. And they're desperately, and here's why, they're desperately trying to make this look like Republicans are as reckless as Democrats were, so that Democrats aren't criticized as heavily for the witch hunt. Because if you've seen the polls, Americans believe that there exists this two-tier standard of justice as it applies to the Bidens and then anybody who isn't the Bidens or a Democrat, regardless of where they fall on the political aisle. I mean, some of the more hardcore Democrats surveyed have reported that, oh, no, we think it's totally fine. But by and large, it's the independents and moderates that everybody's in competition for. Those are the people that are like, yeah, these are some shady things happening here. Super shade. And that's hurting Democrats. And it's also making it, I mean, it's making them have to retreat to the economy, for crying out loud. So Biden's get, what time is his address today?
I think it's 2 o'clock Central.
Okay, so I was like, if we have to take this on air, we're all going to need some liquor or, you know, a beverage of your choice, because I'm not going to be able to get through President Daddy Showers, you know, McUnity stumbling all over the stairs here and falling over stuff. I mean, I'm not going to be able to do it. So this, they're retreating to the economy. And I made mention of this with Jesse Waters last night, because I saw a survey, 61% of Americans report living paycheck to paycheck. Prices have gone up about 18%. Real wages have fallen over 3%. This is all just under Biden. On average, the typical American family is dealing with the equivalent of a $7,000 annual pay cut because of inflation. That means you got real annual earnings are down more than $5,000. Financing costs are up over $1,800. I read another article this morning. What is it? The delinquency for auto loans are at an all-time high. This is some really bad stuff. And this dude is giving an economic address today. He's going to tell y'all that Bidenomics is working. I kid you not. That's his move. That's their push. When they have to retreat to that, they think that's their strongest position. I'm going to need a minute. I think we're all going to need some minutes. Whoo! They think that's their strongest position is the economy. That's how bad it is for all of them. It's so bad that they got to do that. And you can't lie to people about what they're dealing with. Who was it? Paul Krugman. What did he say in the stupid interview that he gave? He was like, oh, it's surreally. He said it's like a Goldilocks economy. The economy is surreally good. It's just, it's so great, the economy. It's so amazing. He was going on and on and on and on. And I thought, first off, how high are you? Number one. Number two, you are the worst economist ever, if that's your position. That you are literally the worst economist on God's green earth. Listen to this. He's this idea that, because he said it's a surreally good economy. What is a Goldilocks economy? Like, he's just pulling stuff out of his backside. How are you telling people? Tell me that you've never gone grocery shopping without telling me that you've never, I mean, the average American family who's looking at like a 60%+ increase in meat, they're sitting here thinking, who is this guy? Who is you? You're sitting here telling us that this is a recovery and that there's no inflation and the economy's great? You're saying this is all good? And it's partisan to think otherwise? Listen to him. This is what he's telling Christiane Amanpour. This is Krugman, the worst economist on God's green earth. Who is, he's trying to run cover for Democrats because Biden's speaking on this today. Listen.
Been surreally good. I mean, even optimists are just stunned by how quickly and how painlessly inflation has come down. We're, you know, no hint of a recession, at least so far. Never know, but no, so far. Inflation, not too far from the, you know, the target of 2% and under 3% by most measures, and all of that just achieved painlessly. So this is great. This is a Goldilocks economy.
A Goldilocks economy. Kane, doesn't it feel Goldilocks?
No.
I don't know what that means, slap your backside with the Goldilocksness of it all. Goldilocks. It's a Goldilocks economy from Paul Krugman and other fairy tales. That's literally the worst economist ever. The worst economist ever. I mean, oh man, just bad, bad, bad. So this is the speech he's given today. He's literally he's actually going here. He's going to go to the economy, and he's going to speak about, I guess, how great Bidenomics apparently is. I don't even know. I'm not quite sure. This is bad. And it's bad for him. If you look at some of the latest polls, Quinnipiac is, oh man, no one likes him. He's in serious trouble in poll after poll. And that's why, I mean, they're literally saying that he's too old. Now, I haven't broken down all the crosstabs of this. It seems suspiciously high because Democrats will look at like a desiccated corpse and be like, no, he's not too old. I don't know. Should we call hospice or should we, you know, call the DNC and file paperwork to have him run for office? I don't know. These are our choices before us. So I think that it's going to add insult to injury for him to continue down the economy's great thing. I can't. So we got, in addition to all of this, you have the numbers of the gas index, as we said yesterday, driving this. Now, while we're having, you know, gas prices drive the, you know, inflation, et cetera, no relief in sight. I ran across this last night. Now, we talked about this earlier in the week, and I'm not going to dive back into it, but I thought this was hysterical, and it was far more drama than was actually reported, as is typically the case when it concerns Democrats in these weird positions. So you remember Energy Secretary, who knows nothing about energy. These people know as much about their damn industries as I know about football. In a Democrat administration, if there was a Department of Football, they would make me the head of it. I'd be secretary of it. I probably honestly know more about football than these people know about energy, or Booty Juice knows about traffic and roadways. Honestly, Kane, you know, I learned some things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sidebar, kind of, because I'm getting into college football. It's like a choice, right? Yeah, so I'm learning some things here. And I learned that there's a lot of backs, a lot of positions that are that. Yeah, so I'll share some nuggets of my wisdom with you all throughout the show, just to, you know, prove to you my knowledge base on football. You're stunned, I know. You're very impressed. I can tell, I can feel, you know, the heightened sense of appreciation for my newfound knowledge on this. So Jennifer Granholm, remember how it was like a little aside, but now it was apparently way more chaotic. So she went on this road trip with her, what did she have, like an EV, her electric vehicle wagon train that she was going on?
Convoy.
Yeah, her convoy. Her wagon train works too. She was only, where was she going, D.C. to Memphis? Or was it even Memphis? I can't remember, and it doesn't matter. I mean, these things, it was a four-day road trip, North Carolina to Tennessee, all right? And they ran into major problems, like, immediately. And at one point, and this was just sort of like, oh, ha, 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 it's funny. It was reported like it was a funny mix-up. Oh, she was hogging kind of one of the charging stations because they had like a million EVs with them. And there were like everywhere they went only had one or two or three electric vehicle charging stations because no one drives them, at least in these areas, right? And apparently it was like worse than we thought. So at one point, they were at a Walmart in Grovetown, Georgia, and one family was majorly ticked because there was a gas-powered vehicle parked in front of the charger, and the family had like a baby in the car, and it was hot out, and they needed to charge their car. So they called the police. The police legit got involved, and there is literally a 911 call of it because this is America, so of course there is. Please welcome to Jennifer Granholm EV Theater, Episode 1. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm calling because I'm in the Grovetown Walmart at the charging station, and there's literally a non-electric car that is taking up the space. Who said they're holding the space for somebody else, and it's holding up a whole bunch of people who need to charge their cars.
Okay.
All right, you're at the Walmart on Center Way.
The one in Grovetown that has the Arby's in front.
This is so first.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I see. Such a first world problem.
Can you hear me?
Oh my God.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. It's left.
Yep. Are they still there?
They're still here, but one spot opened up, which is like not them. But there's other people who are waiting to charge, and they're still here, and they're not an electric car. And the sign says that it has to. You can't park here unless you're charging. No.
That sounds real bad. That's like such a
what
first
kind of car
problem.
Is it?
It's a Corolla. It's black.
Oh my gosh.
They legit
called 911 over this. Like there are people dying somewhere. And you got I want them to all eat each other up. So an annoying person calls 911 over an annoying person. I don't know who to root for. The operator? I guess we got to root for the operator. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who you root for in this situation. For real, though, can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. She's in my charging station spot. I'm going to call 911. Hello, 911. There's a Corolla that's legit in my spot. I'm trying to charge my car. I mean, that's just such a first world problem. You know what? You wouldn't have that problem if you drove a gas-powered car and you could fill it up in like 5 minutes. I'm just saying. Golly. We got more on the way, including a couple things. Immigration. So the Tucson sector is entirely overwhelmed. I don't know if you've seen 2,000. There's like over 2,000 crossings a day. It's interesting. It's all men who are, you know, like in their, I think between the ages of like 18 to 35, it looks like. Huh. All men, no women and children, you know, because when fleeing a country and seeking asylum, you leave the women and children to, you know, endure the wrath of whatever tyrant from which you are fleeing. And it's not just that. There's also an island in Italy
in the Mediterranean, where they have a population of about 6,000 people, and they've been overrun with 8,000 immigrants coming in from North Africa. And a lot of people are saying typically that island's sort of a stopover, but now it's apparently bad. Women are being harassed. There's like a lot of crazy stuff happening. What is Georgia, what is she, Ms. Maloney doing over there? For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So TSA agents are caught on surveillance camera stealing passengers' luggage at Miami International Airport. Footage shows them stealing $600 from a passenger's wallet. I watch my stuff like a hawk when I have to go through TSA. But I mean, they're right on camera. They are right on camera, like picking people's stuff. That's why it's like you got to keep your stuff zipped up. Like you got wallets, you got your watches and stuff that you got to take off. You got to stick that stuff, you know, for this unconstitutional ridiculousness. You gotta watch that. Don't just think your stuff is always safe. It's despicable. I feel like this is going to be looked back upon in the future. So apparently all of the top tech titans got into the same room together. The 20 top tech titans in the United States, worth about $400 billion. And they were summoned to the U.S. Senate to talk about stopping AI. And it's actually kind of, it's wild when you look at it. Don't you get like a Terminator vibe, man, from when you look at that stuff? I totally do. It was making me feel weird, man. I was looking at that like, oh my gosh, I feel like we're going to look back at this in history. The Associated Press also says Earth is outside its safe operating space for humanity on most key measurements. And that we're in bad shape. I think they're in bad shape. We got a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Russia hates the truth that their obsessive focus on a Ukrainian volunteer is simply allowing the light of the Ukrainian nation's honesty to shine brightly.
I actually thought this was...
Next week, the teeth of the Russian devils will gnash ever harder, and their rabid mouths will foam in uncontrollable frenzy as the world will see a favorite Kremlin propagandist pay for their crimes.
This is...
And this puppet of
Ukraine's
Putin is only
English-speaking trans spokesperson who looks like David Spade in a blonde wig from an SNL skit and sounds like Adam Sandler doing a woman's voice. And you know I'm right. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. His name is Sarah, and he's a dude. If you can't tell from the Adam's apple, he's a dude. And I can't even take, I don't even know. He said something about Russians. I don't know, because I was just too busy thinking, what the hell? I don't understand. I don't know. It just is all kind of, it just, it seemed fake. It just seemed weird, didn't it? That was who they decided that they wanted to, it kind of looks like Zelensky in a wig. They released this video of this dude and saying that they were going, it's just hard to take, can I just be, it's hard to take seriously. You're making all these threats like, we're going to hunt you down and gnash our teeth and kick your butt and we're going to kick you in the neck and all these things. You're in a wig and you're a dude. That's a wig. Is that a wig, Kane? That's a wig. It's a man. I would not be intimidated by that. You know? Like if China had a dude dressed as a chick saying that they were going to go and beat up the United States, I'd be like, you're in a wig, dude. You're not going to do nothing. You know I'm being honest here. You all think the same thing, right? I can't take it seriously. It makes a mockery. If you're trying to be a badass, that's not the way to do it, right? You'd get somebody like that Sisu guy. You know that if you haven't seen it, that's a pretty heck of a great movie. Or you would you'd have somebody like that, or you'd have like Benicio del Toro and Sicario. You'd have that guy saying, "And we're going to hunt you down." And that, see, now that would be intimidating. But this dude in a wig is not intimidating. Right? He does look like David Spade in a blonde wig. Like in that mall scene when he's with Chris Farley and Adam Sandler. That's what it looks like. Now, going from that to this, I mentioned this the other day, but you got this in the prep last night, the video of Mads Mikkelsen, who is laughing his head off because this stupid reporter decides to, at this press conference, ask, you know, they made this movie, right? They made a movie and it's about, it takes place in 1775 Denmark. Now, Kane, Denmark, it's way up there.
It is.
Yeah. And the Danish people, they're Nordic, you know, they got a specific looks about them, right? Yeah. In 1775, especially. So, they were at the Venice Film Festival. And Mads Mikkelsen, one of the actors, he's a great actor. It's called The Promised Land. And the director, Nikolai Arcel, they were asked about diversity requirements in Hollywood. Now, you get the sense, because I got to admit, I don't spend a lot of time in the film world. I watch, you know, I'm very particular about the movies that I want to watch. And I have a lot of pet peeves that all rank the same. And one of them is I cannot stand sitting captive in a movie theater watching anything that's subpar. If it's not good, I'm not going to go into a theater and pay to see it. I go to the theater very, very little because if I will support good movies, but I do not have the attention span to sit there for a crummy one. I just can't. I get too fidgety and then I'll aggravate everybody. So to that point, it seems like, because, you know, we're here in the United States and we see what's happening with Hollywood and we see the cultural warfare that's happening. You get the sense from this exchange between the stupid reporter and the director and Mads Mikkelsen here that this isn't really prevalent in other film industries, like in the European film industry and elsewhere, that it's just really, really just dominantly in the United States, especially since they had the Academy make those stupid requirements. And he brings up one of those, like Parasite, which is a fantastic South Korean film. And they said, he was saying, well, you know, they didn't have diversity, but they were the right kind of ethnicity, so it didn't matter. That's ultimately what he says. Anyway, this reporter asks them, you know, why is everybody white? That's what he basically asks. Listen to this exchange, because Mikkelsen starts laughing.
This is a cast and a Danish production, which is entirely Nordic. It therefore has some lack of diversity, you would say, as also new rules are implied in Hollywood.
What are you on to?
sorry, but
from the get-go.
From the get-go, there is said some... Okay.
Well, first of all, the film takes place in Denmark in the 1750s.
Yeah. Well, you moron. The film takes place in Denmark in the 1750s. And I don't know if you're familiar with Denmark in the 1750s. It's the southernmost of the Scandinavian countries. There were a lot of Nordic people there. That's like going to, I don't know, going to any country in Africa in the 1700s and going, why is there so few white people? I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why? Or going to China and being like, where are the Americans at? Or, you know, I mean, like, why? Who does this stuff? This is so stupid. This is so stupid. And in 1750, it's a movie. Do you realize back in history, before you had world travel like the way that we do now, you really had, you know, people of, you know, different countries. There was a little bit of, you know, there was some, it was a little bit homogenous. That's history. I can't believe I have to say this. And the sky is blue. Oh my gosh. Oh, well, it's, I love the director. He's, well, you know, it was made in the 1750s in Denmark. That's what was happening. I mean, back in the, what, in the 1700s, I mean, good grief. This is just, it's so goofy. So they were like, well, it's a, you know, it's a film about, you know, these, I don't even know what it's about, but it's based in Denmark in 1775. And so the reporter's like, well, why is it so white? And then he asks them, don't you think it's a bummer? It wasn't a question so much as it was an observation. He's like, don't you think it's a bummer that your movie's probably going to be ignored by the Academy because of you're all white? That's basically what he asks. Mads Mikkelsen just sat there with Whiskey Tango Foxtrot all over his face. Like, he could not believe what he was hearing. Like, this is the stupidest thing ever. And it is stupid. It's like you wouldn't go to feudal Japan. You know, before Commodore Perry had his boats in the heart. You wouldn't go to that. If you were making a film during that period and be like, where's the diversity? Because you would be, especially if you were making a movie that was based in some sort of historical accuracy for the sake of suspending disbelief in the mind of the viewer. You know how dumb that would be if I, you know, how dumb would that be? Right? It's like Rurouni Kenshin, which is one of the best films ever made. And it's a series. If you haven't seen all of it, you hate yourself. It is one of the most amazing, oh my gosh, it's fabulous, fabulous series. It would be like going to, you know, if they were at the Venice Film Festival and asking the director of, you know, Rurouni Kenshin, where are the white people at? Where's the diversity? And they would look at you like you're a moron because it's feudal Japan. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, it's pre-Tokyo. It's similar. Gosh, I hate the cultural push towards this. I just can't stand it. Just, there's some things in history that's the way it is. It's not like a statement against anything. That's how it was. All right, a couple of other things. So, update on New Mexico. I wrote a piece about this. And this is why you should sign up, honestly, for the for chapter and verse, the newsletter over at Substack. So, the New Mexico governor had her gun control edict blocked yesterday by a U.S. District Judge David Urias, who issued a temporary restraining order against two sections of her four-part order. And that had to do with the temporary suspension of open and concealed carry. That was section one. And then section four, where it said no person other than law enforcement officer, et cetera, shall possess, blah, blah, blah. So they issued a temporary restraining order against sections one and four of her executive order. And there is a full hearing on motions for a preliminary injunction that's scheduled for October 3rd. Now, it's a Biden-appointed judge. He made it pretty obvious that he was very sympathetic to her position. And like he had said, at one point, you know, he had to follow the law. He didn't sound too stoked about it. But he also made it clear that the law, particularly Bruin, restrains him. And the said he encouraged her. Again, he was talking about legislative action as opposed to these edicts. But I think this further highlights the damage that was created by all the public health emergency stuff during COVID. Now everyone thinks that they can just declare a public health emergency and then you can do whatever you want.
let's see, I want to do this, so I'm going to declare a public health emergency. I don't think that this is good. This thing is not going to last. It's not going to fly. And remember, it was open-ended, kind of like the lockdowns were. It was open-ended. So it was 15 days to slow the spread. She wanted 30 days to slow the crime rate. But with a caveat, she was going to review it and not necessarily end it, not necessarily continue it. It just all depends. Now, October 3rd is when they have that full hearing. But like I said, there's no way that this is not going to pass any kind of courtroom scrutiny. It's not. I mean, it's she's done, and she's hurt herself and made herself a liability for her own party. When you even have people who actually agree with her who have to come out because her tactics were so bad. I mean, you had the AG who himself, actually, when he was DA of Bernalillo County, as we talked about in Albuquerque, he contributed to the problem of crime. I mean, this was the guy who was dismissing cases right and left, the guy who was fast-tracking things so they could reduce the prison population. The former police chief of Albuquerque even was saying that when he was DA, Raul Torres really was, you know, helping to drive the crime rate. Now he's the attorney general for New Mexico. And he's the state's lawyer. I mean, he's the governor's lawyer for all intents and purposes. And the fact that he didn't want to represent this, I think he has political ambitions beyond AG for New Mexico. But the fact that he didn't want to that he didn't want anywhere near this case, I think further illustrates that or supports that theory. But also, they had to throw her under the bus, and it was easy to throw her under the bus. I mean, she's a termed out governor. She's not very popular with Democrats right now and really wasn't entirely before them. So they have nothing to lose by chucking her under the bus. And then they get to preserve this optic that they do draw a line somewhere. They don't. They just don't like the fact that she just, you know, pedaled to the floor, with this, with their plans. So this, it's not gonna pass courtroom scrutiny. It's not, and I mean, there's just no way this is gonna, no way it's gonna be allowed to stay in effect. And I think after this, I think people are gonna find injunctive relief. I think it'll be completely dismantled in the courtroom. There's just no way. There's no way, especially when she can't cite to anything in the history of America's firearm regulation that supports this. And I don't know. I think Tom has pretty much tied it up in the opinion on Bruin. We got a lot more on the way. In addition to, apparently, we're going to have a lot of alien stuff coming out today. I saw the video they presented toward in front of the Mexican Congress. Yeah. Dude, those were dolls. I don't believe that for a second. We just found them lying here perfect. Straight. Just perfectly straight. I don't believe that.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hi, good question. Yes, and also yes. For quick reference, I started HRT in January of last year and came out to the school in April. The biggest piece of advice I could give is a little bureaucratic, but make sure you talk to your administration first before you come out to the school. This is just so that the administration can know about your transition and defend you. See, none of the kids had a problem, but a few of the parents did, but because the administration was aware, they were able to intervene and have my back. We had one parent call the school and ask to have their kid switched out of the class. The administration said no. It sucked to have to feel like I had to be able to tell people about things in order to be myself, but at least the administration was able to take care of it for me. Otherwise, just be honest and upfront with the kids. If they're anything like mine, they're more mature than you think they are.
Oh my gosh. Why can't you just teach? When did it... This is a trans teacher. It's a man who says that, the kids were more mature with the transition than the parents. Actually, the kids just don't know what's going on. And the parents do, which is why they react that way. And I'm really not going to take no trash talk like that from somebody who has no kids. One of the things that aggravates me is when no parent activist or no parent Twitter decides to lecture what it is or isn't to have kids. And I'm just like, sit down and have a million shuts up. That's how we're going to do it. But this teacher, the way that he talks about this and the way that, you know, activists, the way that they all go about this, it's like they... Parents have authority over their children just because they cross the threshold into a school that they support with their tax dollars doesn't mean that they lose
the ultimate authority over their children. They are the parental authority figures in their children's lives. And so that's it's kind of asinine to me that this is, I think it comes also too with these activists not knowing what it is to be a parent. Well, the kids are more mature. The kids don't know any better. You're talking about young children. All right, coming up, a number of things to get into. Abuse of government. So there were a couple of related under this topic. You have the CIA that was trying to pay off analysts to bury the lab leak stuff. You also have Senator Warren calling for an investigation into Elon Musk's influence on foreign policy. I wonder if she's still going to say that, especially after some of the stuff about that Musk said about Taiwan and all of that is coming up into light. We're also going to dive into, apparently, the shadow campaign continues. Gavin Newsom announces a climate-focused trip to China. We'll discuss that and a lot more. Stick with us.
What is the agency doing to encourage any decrease in those prices?
Well, we don't have, obviously the prices are met on the private sector, on a market, so we don't have direct impact on that market.
Like kill and drilling in Anwar?
No, that has nothing to do with the price today.
Oh my gosh. What? So, first off, that's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, and she's speaking there about taking questions about energy impact and U.S. energy production. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour, Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast, and you can also watch the simulcast of the radio program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. A caveat there, and she's trying to play on people's unawareness of how the global market production with regards to the global market works. So she's saying, well, it's not going to have an impact on the price today, having the leases from the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge up there in Alaska. That's not the point, though. We're not talking about today. She's playing a semantics game with you because and she begs the question because she gives you an answer based on a premise that that's not your point. That wasn't what you were asking. People weren't talking about, well, what can immediately impact this today? We're talking about overall. And she's like, well, you know, suspending those leases, canceling the leases isn't going to impact gas prices today. No, it impacts the ability for the United States to be A, energy independent, and also to be a net exporter again, which is what we were previously before that was all changed with this new administration. And she's counting on you not knowing that. They like to make fun of people by presupposing that you're arguing that we're just taking oil from there and we're just going to refine it and use it for ourselves as opposed to sending it to Houston and adding it to the global market. And yet they're the ones who they think that's funny, but yet they're the ones who act like somehow readjusting and restructuring the entire energy sector of the United States and patterning it on rare earth elements and quote unquote green tech, that becoming more reliant on China for that energy and tech than we are OPEC right now is somehow better or greener or et cetera. It's silly. And if she sits here and argues that, you know, her, you know, point, she's like, well, we can't do anything to lower gas prices. You can't do anything to lower gas prices. Well, then why were you releasing out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? Exactly. What the hell do you think? What were you doing there? If you think that you can't control gas prices, why were you depleting our reserve? If you think that you can't control gas prices, why the hell do you have the president going hat in hand asking Venezuela for crude? Why was he begging the Saudis? If you didn't think that we couldn't control, I mean, it's just what a stupid position. If you didn't think that we couldn't control gas prices, for the love. I mean, that's one of the things that we were doing. They were trying to say, oh, it's going to help with inflation. We're going to release everything from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Well, look how well that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And we depleted our reserve. Now, we just don't have the direct impact on the market. Really, it's the number one driver for inflation right now. What do you mean you can't control and you don't think it has impact on the market? How is she in this position? Again, they hire people for these positions that don't know anything about them. It's like having me as, Kane, I just told you, it's like having me be the secretary for football. Imagine that. It's so creepy. But this is the thing. I read this headline. 4 in 10 investors say higher prices are destroying plans for people's retirement. Rising gas prices, pushing up the rate of inflation, almost 4%. The all kinds of stuff. I told you 61% live in paycheck to paycheck. Did you hear this? I don't even know what charging anxiety is. Have you heard about this? Charging anxiety? No. The CEO of Ford, Jim Farley, he was asked about, because they're apparently producing 600,000 electric vehicles per year by 2024. And he said, quote, we're going into the mass consumers who have a lot of charging anxiety. Charging anxiety. And he said that people are not willing to pay a premium. Charging anxiety. This is like being forced upon people before the market actually wants it. They said they were talking about their hybrids, their everything else. They said they think EVs are going to be a significant number, a chunk of their business. They just don't know. The charging anxiety. People are worried, I guess, about the charging network. There was a joint venture that called for about 30,000 charging stations across the U.S. and Canada. This sounds like a snobby suburbanite's problem or solution to a problem that exists in their own mind. You're creating a bigger issue than needs to be. And it's based upon the lie that all of this stuff is greener. There are more greenhouse gases produced through the extraction of rare earth elements, the processing of rare earth elements, the manufacturing of all of the materials needed to fabricate all of these EVs and everything else, as opposed to the clean extraction methods that we have pioneered with oil and gas, which, by the way, replenish over time. It's the way it works. So they had this project that's coordinated by BMW, GM, Honda, Kia, several others. They want to have 30,000 chargers installed in the U.S. and Canada. And they want to build out this network, is what they had said. I don't care if you do build out the network. I don't think it's practical. I don't think it's practical. I'm not judging somebody if they want to have an EV. I'm not even going to relitigate this. We've talked about it. But you're reliant upon coal still. Where do you think electricity comes from? It's like these people don't know how energy is made. Where the hell y'all think electricity comes from? Over 85% of it comes from coal-powered plants, the majority of it. Oh no, but it's cleaner because see, we're not drilling for oil and gas. Oh yeah, it's cleaner. So we're stripping the land and creating all kinds of carcinogenic byproducts by dirtily extracting rare earth elements in a very laborious process that we don't actually do here in the United States. China, the number one polluter on the planet, does, with no worker protections, no environmental protections. They're the ones who do it. And because they do it and you don't, you think this absolves you of the original sin of pollution? EVs are the political indulgence for the feeble-minded people who like to pose about being environmentalists. That's what it is. If you tell me that you drive an EV because you think it's clean, I literally will think that you are too stupid to associate with. Because it's true. And where's the left on this? See, if the left really believed what they believe about everything, they would be asking why so many suburban Americans, city-dwelling Americans, why are you all pushing pollution towards China and other lesser developed nations that are tasked with the dangerous job of mining your indulgent elements? What about all the people who are dying of cancer from the carcinogenic byproducts in China? There's whole cancer villages over there.
Or, to say nothing, there was no outrage aside from one piece from ABC a few years ago about 20,000 children that were hand mining cobalt in Congo. No outrage over that. No, it's so that Karen can feel better about herself when she goes and charges her EV, and then she can parade her virtue around like a modern day Pharisees. Look at me. I care so much about the earth. I mean, yes, there were children that had to mine the cobalt for use to in making this product. And yes, there's carcinogenic byproducts and the stripping of the earth that resulted in the other elements needed to make my EV. But it's not happening where I can see it. Thus, it doesn't exist. These people are dumber than, I mean, it's babies at least develop object permanence. But progressive left with their EV stuff, they do not. But that's what it is. And we're pushing this. They're pushing everyone to not drive, to stay home, eat bugs, own nothing, and die. That's why they sit here. Jennifer Granholm says, well, we can't control how this impacts it. No, you can. And you're purposefully tanking it. You're tanking it because Joe Biden, who is the biggest grifter, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think he might be the biggest grifter to ever be in the White House. This family, this trash family, makes the Clintons look classy. They have zero accomplishments at all to their name. They act like they're nobility in America. Somehow this guy gets in the White House, and after being in the vice president's office, merching it out for gain, he does the same thing in the White House, merching it out for gain. They're making money. The Bidens become richer the more that America's dependency upon China and rare earth elements grows. They're selling out American national security for benefit. No wonder. That's a national security issue. I'm all for the impeachment inquiry. But this is the reality of it. Gas prices will continue to rise, and it's not going to be easy for all of these, you know, for all of this rare earth element stuff. No, it's they're tanking this system, and then they're also encouraging law and lawlessness and disorder. So coming up, there's new images out of Arizona showing thousands of illegal immigrants that are being detained in an outdoor holding area in Tucson. That sector is overwhelmed. Border Patrol is warning that they are over capacity. For 3 days in a row, they have seen approximately 2,000 illegal crossings per day. And they said that they're having to now just release people onto the street because they are out of space. Wow. We're going to talk about that coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently a bunch of different VHS tapes are selling for thousands of dollars. There's a catch. It has to be in mint condition, and it has to be a certain one. So classics like Back to the Future, movies that have a cult following like the original Fast and Furious, they're selling for thousands of dollars on eBay. So they said that A Nightmare on Elm Street is literally going for mint condition, VHS, $5,000 on eBay. The Goonies, $4,000. Taxi Driver, $1,900. Conan the Barbarian, $1,700. I mean, everything from the Dumbo, Teen Wolf, Gremlins, First Blood, Halloween. Those are some of the 11 most valuable VHS tapes. And again, it has to be in mint condition. I cannot believe someone's paying that. Who is that? It has to be somebody in the administration, because I don't know who would be that dumb with money. The U.S. is to shift millions of dollars in military aid from Egypt to Taiwan, according to the Wall Street Journal. This is after relations between Cairo and Washington having been strained over things like human rights, Ukraine, etc. I also think it's just some people are recognizing maybe where the heat actually is. Jack Osborne, son of Ozzy, sparks furious backlash from morons after he shared a video of himself hunting elk and deer with a bow and arrow during his first hunt. Yeah, a lot of people go bow hunting. You know, for the people who think that meat just magically apparates onto the shelves in grocery stores, there's not a field where meat is grown. That's not how that works.
And he was, you know, he didn't do anything. He wasn't like, you know, he was just showing like he is out there hunting with a bow. He's out hunting for elk and deer. And he's, you know, he wasn't acting reckless or anything. I don't understand. It's morons that are upset. People are like, oh, I'm so disappointed to see this, etc. You realize that you have to call the herd and that it is strictly regulated. Anyone who's criticizing him for this needs to shut up and get educated on it. I'm so tired about it. It's like, again, it's like me talking about football. I know nothing about football. Hearing people bitch about other people responsibly harvesting meat, it's the same thing. Stop. Done with it. Also, now, this is funny. Ron DeSantis launched billboards in Illinois in a hysterical campaign urging law enforcement to make the smart move to Florida, where they're going to treat their police right. More than 2,700 officers have been recruited in Florida since they've rolled out this campaign. It says citizenship matters, law enforcement matters. Make the smart move to Florida. And they actually tout a $5,000 signing bonus for out-of-state officers who relocate as part of its recruitment bonus payment program that they signed into law last year. That's hysterical. Let's see. 47% of Americans say achieving retirement security will take a miracle, and they blame inflation. And even Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg cannot find a reliable EV charger. Apparently, he was on the struggle bus recently. I know. Isn't that interesting? All right, so coming up, it's even worse at the border lately than you've ever imagined. I mean, it's always bad, but especially so this past week. We'll discuss. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Former White House aides of yours who tried to warn you about the potential conflicts of interest.
Nobody warned me about a potential conflict of interest. Nobody warned me about that. And at the same time,
George Kent, the State Department official, testified that he raised it to you.
No, he didn't say to your staff. He did not
say to your staff.
I
stand corrected.
Never heard that once.
To your staff. And your staff told him he has no bandwidth.
Well, my son was dying. I guess that's why he said it, because my son was on his deathbed.
Shut up. I'm so damn tired of hearing this, and so is everyone else. You know what? Everybody suffers through tragedies, but not everyone sits here and reanimates like some kind of Frankenstein's monster their tragedy and trots it out to cover their ass whenever they act in an incompetent fashion. Stop it. That's flashback Biden. No one told me it was wrong for my son to take millions from a corrupt oligarch. Don't criticize me. My son died. You can't criticize me. What about the 13 people that you basically helped kill at Abbey Gate? Can they criticize you? Their sons and daughters and wives and husbands died. Their family members died. Can they criticize you? Jeez, I'm so done with this. I'm so done with this guy. Joe Biden is not strong or smart enough to be in the White House. I really don't like him. You know how sometimes I say, well, I'll say politics isn't personal, and sometimes, you know, you may like personally. They may seem like a personable character, a politician, but their politics are horrible. I don't like him. I have a visceral dislike of his whole trash family, his disgusting, trashy son, his trashy daughter, his trashy wife, the whole trashy family. They're an embarrassment to the nation. Nobody told me it was wrong. Good grief. The prostitute Biden family. Speaking of which, by the way, I haven't read all of this yet. Charging doc, but Hunter Biden's been indicted. I'm not going to act excited over this just because it's a gun charge. This is like the least thing they could go at him on. They're going at him over falsifying his 4473 because that's the only thing that they have that doesn't implicate Joe Biden. And so they're going to do this as a wrist slap so they don't have to do anything else. They're doing it as a wrist slap and nothing more. Now, you knew this was going to be coming before, what was it, the 29th. But it is, I mean, he's hit with this new indictment. ABC has the story. It'll be interesting to see how MSNBC and CNN cover it. The charges carry up to 10 years in prison. They're the first to be filed by Weiss so far. You know, the guy who also tried to structure the little sweetheart plea. And this was, he's got three counts of illegally possessing a firearm while he was addicted to drugs and, you know, fault line on your application form when you go to purchase. And so this is, like I said, this is the least thing that they could get him on. and it doesn't implicate Joe Biden. So they have to have somebody, and they're gonna go after Hunter, and then that's gonna allow this crackhead to try to make himself to be out like the victim more, because he thinks he's entirely innocent. If you remember, who was the discussion that he had that with? Was it the business partner who is no longer the business partner who ended up whistling on him? He was saying that, you know, they come after us and they have to because, you know, we're of who we are in the country. And, you know, because my father's president. And so, like he acts like he's a martyr. So they said that these charges, special counsel, felony gun charges, by the same guy again that had structured that sweetie, sweet deal for him that fell apart because the judge was reading it. I'm not going to be impressed by this. I don't think you should either, honestly. I mean, this is the only reason they're pursuing this is because it's the one thing that doesn't implicate Biden. And Biden will probably pardon him or something. He'll pardon him. Watch. I bet you he will. They don't care. They don't care. They're trashier than the Clintons, but they have about the same level of self-awareness. They don't care. They really don't. So it's just very interesting. Interesting to see all of this. So the federal I'm pulling this. This is all making. I'm looking at the document. I'll read some. I'll have this linked up at chapter and verse. But the charging document, they said it was on the 4473, the prospective purchaser, whether or not you could certify truthfully that you are not an unlawful user of or addicted to any stimulant, any controlled substance, any illegal drug. And that you certify that your answer is true, correct, blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, yes, I'm not addicted. But then remember, this was at the same time when he purchased his firearm. It was literally because he, in his memoir, the memoir of a garbage can. Because in his memoir, he wrote about how he was high as a kite, literally at the exact same time that he was on a bender at the time that he purchased his gun. So he lied. And so that's what he's in trouble. I mean, he like told on himself. What a moron. Oh, my gosh. Can we just for a minute just stew over how ridiculous this is? Every single problem this family has, they created it themselves. Their kids are oversharers. They won't shut up. You have the son who makes videos of himself, posts everything on multiple computers, leaves his stuff all over the place like he's a damn teenager and the United States of America is the floor of his bedroom. And then he writes a book just telling on himself. And anyone with more than one brain cell to rub together can look and see that this chapter corresponds with the exact time that he purchased this gun. So he lied. They are really, anybody else would have already been arrested and convicted. But he's different because he's baby Biden. So just trash family. I just, you know, it just ticks me off. Why are you laughing over there? You're laughing. I'm like making myself angrier.
The baby Biden gets me every time.
Grown-ass man, disheveled, flabby, nasty, sweaty, and pale-looking dude. And an enabler daddy. Every single one of those kids is messed up. Every damn one of his kids. All the Biden kids are messed up. Seriously, there's a problem with the parenting. Can we talk about that? Good grief. So this, he's indicted, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know if they're going to make any kind of. He's got three counts tied to the purchase and possession of a gun while he was on drugs, high as a kite. And so we'll see. But I don't think they're going to have any other charges for him. I hate to burst your bubble, but they won't. I want to talk a little bit about some of the immigration issue here. And by the way, that news just broke with the indictment. The Biden administration. Remember how Eric Adams went out and was going after the administration, saying that they're causing this crisis because they they're not controlling influx at the border? Well, now the Biden administration says, no, it's actually Eric Adams' fault. What? Mm-hmm. Department of Homeland Security, they told NBC that, oh, well, it's New York. They don't have an exit strategy. for the people that they're taking into housing each month. Eric Adams says there's no federal support. They have a broken system. They have Republican governors busing migrants to their city. Hey, Slick, did you bitch about Joe Biden and the administration flying people up to your city? Because, you know, it's not just buses. Democrats have been flying illegal immigrants up to your city by the planefuls every month. But it's interesting how those are omitted, because that's allowed. Democrats can fly them. Busing isn't allowed. And it's not allowed if you're a Republican. It's so stupid. So now they're fighting. The Biden administration says, no, it's Eric Adams' fault. Eric Adams created everything. It's essentially what it is. So let them knock each other out. I don't care. Let them knock each other out. They're passing blame back and forth. Meanwhile, have you seen what's going on at the border? Have you seen? It's a mess. Just in the past 3 days in Tucson, there have been over 2,000 crossings a day, illegal immigrants crossing the border, entering illegally a day. A day. And then last night it came out, federal judge declared that DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, that program is considered unlawful for the second time. Now, this was crafted under an edict back in 2012 with Barack Obama. And that was also found unlawful by a judge. They had a similar ruling back in 2021 with that. So they said that it's kids who have been in the country, and I guess they mature and come of age, and they call them quote unquote dreamers, which is a stupid nickname. I don't know why. And they said that they're sympathetic to the predicament of DACA recipients, but they have concerns about the legality of the program. I have empathy problem with all of it. And here's why. I can't tell you the number. All the reporters that have come out and said that they were, don't remind me of the name because I don't care. It's only for the purpose of the story. But there was one reporter that came out and made a big deal out of it during the last election so he could go to the DNC and, you know, he could get some stage time and all this stuff. But people who come of age, if they're brought over illegally as children, because you couldn't deport them at that point, which I don't know why, if you couldn't be deported, why you wouldn't then come out and start the process of becoming a legal citizen. Because you can apply for colleges and you can apply for grants and you can apply for scholarships and you can apply for federal aid and you can apply for every other damn thing under the sun, but you apparently can't apply for citizenship knowing that you had up until that point been protected from deportation. What the hell? So I don't really have any empathy right there for that. Because I feel like you're helping to perpetuate the problem because you refuse to do anything to rectify it. And then when you're the victim of your own circumstance, then you say that you're the one who's being unfairly targeted. That doesn't fly. And I don't believe that I'm the only one in thinking that. I mean, if you're able to apply for all of this other stuff, then you can apply and start the citizenship process. And I don't like the word dreamer because it's stupid and it's a babyish term. This is the business of the people. Can we be grown up about it? Good grief. Hey, dreamer. I'm just tired of all of the stupid talking down to voters. So it's a mess. Bill Malugin has video and photo of people stacked in Arizona. Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, they say that they are over capacity. Over capacity. They can't deal. They're having to actually just start to release people. Because they can't control everything. They can't house everybody. They don't have enough resources. They had a drone team in Eagle Pass where they saw a whole bunch of people coming through, crossing the river, cutting through the razor wire, and then those are a bunch of gotaways. You have 1.5 million known gotaways at least. And Border Patrol sounding the alarm on the Tucson sector. They're calling them freedom runs. That's the term that they're using in Arizona now because their DHS told Border Patrol about mass, this is in regards to mass releases of people who entered illegally in Tucson, because they have no manpower. They have nothing for enforcement. Agents, their calls go unanswered. The majority of agents are tied up with surrendering border crashers. That's when they're just walking across the border and getting Border Patrol's attention, and there's not a lot down there anyway. And they said that, you know, it's sanctioned lawlessness. And then you got cartels that are trafficking. Look, cartels, I've said this on the program before, the number one commodity going across the border illegally, it's not drugs, it's people. Because you don't have to grow people. And people can cross and recross and recross and recross and recross. You can get the ROI on that is through the roof for cartels. They can make tons of money on one person. You can if you're sending across a brick of cocaine. That's a one and done. No, their top commodity is people. It's not drugs anymore. I mean, I'm left to wonder what this administration's getting paid by the cartels in order to keep allowing this to happen, because that's the only damn way this is happening, is if the cartel's paying off the government at this point. At this point, I'm inclined to believe all of that's true.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Golly. All right, what to start with now? So, a skanky Florida mom is arrested because she abandoned her toddler in a running car so she could go swimming with sharks. The sadness in this headline is she wasn't eaten. Florida mom Allison Skanky Daughtry, yes, that's right, we're going to call her Little Skanky, is arrested because she abandoned her toddler in a running car so she could go swimming with sharks. The 41-year-old left her 2-year-old boy in the vehicle while she went to go and swim. She said she wanted to go meet sharks. She got out, went swimming. The police had to intervene. Passerby noticed the kid crawling around in the car in a diaper. And finally, they brought a Boca Grande Marine unit, brought her to shore. And she was marched to the police vehicle. And she's in trouble. Hopefully, the child was put with a family member. But good grief. I mean, just... I'm telling you what. Also, a Florida man had a $60,000 shopping spree. He was arrested for using bogus checks. He has a neck tat right across the front of his neck, which shows you his IQ. And his name, well, it's very fitting. Carson Quackenbush. Yeah. Carson Quackenbush, age 27, is behind bars. He bought ATVs, trailers, all kinds of stuff. He was writing checks that he literally could not cash. He was arrested because finally, I think this was after a jet ski and a trailer. He tried to use a cashier's check. They put out a warrant for him. He was taken into custody by the Gainesville police. Oh my gosh. And also, I just want to shave his head. I want to shave his head, and I just don't know. Why does he have hearts tattooed right under his chin? I mean, why? Some people's children. You know what I mean? At some point, like, if you're a tattoo artist and I would look at this guy if I was, and I'd be like, you want what? You want what? And just decline. Just don't participate in that mess. Let's see. This armed Florida man shot dead his sister's abusive ex-boyfriend is not going to be charged because the abuser FAFO'd. Yeah. The abuser was the one who first drew down on this guy. This guy had every right, understand your ground laws in Florida, to defend himself. And so police have concluded, nope, he is not going to face any charges. The 23-year-old rushed to his sister's rescue and when she texted the family for help. And the criminal, the abuser, was hitting her as the brother arrived and drew down on the brother and was ready to go. But the brother was faster, thankfully. And so that case is one and done. And a big thank you to that guy because he took an abuser off the face of the earth. All right. I don't even know where to go with this one. A naked Florida man drove around town with electrical wires attached to his Frank. Was arrested. Kurt Jenkins of Boynton Beach was charged with nudity in public. He wasn't hard to miss. He would pull alongside cars and then gesture at shocked onlookers to look at his wired up crotch. Literally, an electronic device with wires was attached to his bits. He was totally arrested and taken into custody. That's horrifying. Third hour on the way. Ooh.
I mean, this border is such a disaster. And so what I've said is, day one as president, we're declaring it a national emergency. I'm sending the military down to the border. We're going to build the wall, stop the invasion. But I am going to treat the Mexican drug cartels as the foreign terrorist groups that they are. They're killing tens of thousands of our fellow citizens by bringing fentanyl into this country. We're using lethal force against the cartels. Right. If they're bringing fentanyl in, breaking into our country, we're going to leave them stone cold dead at the border. Trust me, they will get the message.
Well, that's definitely one way to do it. That's Ron DeSantis, who is talking about immigration, obviously. I mean, what the hell would he be talking about? It's immigration. And the insanity that's been, I mean, just happening, that it's just insane. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And always good to be with you. We're here at the top of this third hour on this godforsaken Thursday. Hunter Biden charged. It's a gun. Some people are like, Dana, you're just not going to be happy. No, I'm a realist. I don't go through life with my head stuck up my backside like, you know, a lot of people in this country. I don't sit here and look, Hunter Biden's getting indicted on firearms charge. That's great news. No, it's not, because you think he's actually going to get the same penalty that any other rando schmuck would get? Do you honestly, are you literally going to sit here and tell me that you really believe this dude's going to get the exact same penalty? You know, the dude who's being charged by the guy that tried to circumvent law and order and create a sweetheart little plea deal for him? That guy? Really? I got a bridge to sell you. My gosh. Don't answer any emails if there's somebody who wants to wire you money from some foreign country. Good grief. You'll believe anything at that point. No, I don't believe at all whatsoever that it's going to be a serious punishment for him. Nothing at all. They're allowing it to go through because it's the only thing that doesn't implicate Daddy Joe. As if you needed further proof of how crappy of a father this guy is. He allows his son, and believe me, I do believe his son is willing to be used because he wants to reap millions of dollars despite having no discernible skills at all whatsoever. But you have the president of the United States, the father, who's willingly allowing his son to be used and will use him more. And then we'll put him out there as the sacrifice so he doesn't have to get any kind of charges and he can be protected. Now you want to know why the kid's a drug addict? Look at the dad. You want to know why the daughter's got so many messed up issues? Look at the dad. And what the hell does the mom do? She didn't do anything but wear Dolce & Gabbana. I've never seen anyone who can make Dolce & Gabbana look like a damn grandma sofa, but Joe Biden does. It's ridiculous. People act like, oh, it's going to be justice. Pfft, what? Are you high? Not going to be justice. Come on. Not going to be anything of the sort. So he got 3 charges on this. He lied on his form. He said that he wasn't high as a kite. And that he was also, and then of course there's the additional to be expected charge. You're a drug addict who is high as a kite and you're in possession illegally of a firearm. So those are the 3 charges that are included in this indictment here. Now, anybody else, they would have already seen justice. It wouldn't have been years past. It would have been immediate. It'd have been real quick. And so I just think I'm not going to be too super stoked. I'm just not really, like I said, I really don't believe that there's going to be anything that comes from this. Just like they're not doing anything at the border. I saw another story today, people going after Tuberville for not allowing this or that to pass and wringing their hands over what they think Republicans are going to do in the House. And they're trying so hard to strategize to make sure that they can control the power of the purse and all this other stuff. I don't think that the House needs to be allowing anything to go through as long as you see what I've been seeing at the border. I'm watching another video, Lukeville, Arizona. It comes in from Border Patrol. People lined up. They had 148 people from Senegal. Well, that's not in Mexico. Senegal's not in Mexico. Huh. Some coming from Sudan. Well, Sudan isn't in Mexico, Kane.
Right.
Huh. Ghana. Everything. I mean, heavens. And they're all men. Not a single woman. Not a single child. They are all men. Young men. Huh. Interesting. An invasion without a single shot. I mean, that's what it looks like. Did you guys hear about the Let me pull this story up. I saved this story. It is an island in Italy, and they have been dealing with an overwhelming influx of illegal immigrants that came through. I think the island is something like, I think there's like 6,000 people that live there. I'm pulling this up here. They have about like 6,000 people. And they have had boat after boat after boat going over. More than the, I think, 8,000 total, I think they said. And that's like way more than the people who live on the island. It's kind of crazy. And it's nowhere to put anybody, nowhere, nothing. Nothing. And it's happening everywhere, especially in countries that have weak immigration laws. I don't know what Italy's response is going to be over there. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't know what their response is going to be, but I'm telling you, this is something else. Now, all of this, I see all the story about the indictments, all making news, all that good stuff. Yeah, I'm still not. Mm-mm. Especially after I got all the notifications. All my notifications are going off. Hunter Biden gun charge. This news alert coming through. All my wire feeds on Twitter. Brrrm. I'm making a prediction now. They're going to use this. Oh, look, here's justice. Here, you guys got your justice. Now let's pivot and talk about something else. And they're going to hope you forget about all the other Biden stuff. What do you want to bet, Kane?
Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely. This will end up a nothing burger because look at what the charges are. The charges are based on how he filled out the 4473 and then the narcotics use while, you know, possessing a firearm. Do they have a P test from back then? Mm. If they're going to go by the information in his book, it's going to be hearsay. So I think this is going to end up being a nothing burger.
I think they'll probably, it'll either be like a reduced something or nothing. Mm-hmm. Or nothing. I'm not getting excited. It's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Look, if you're a Biden, if you're a Democrat, not even if you're a Biden, if you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter. They will bend the rule of law to you. So why the hell should I follow the law? You might be asking yourself. I'm just saying, why? This is also, it's also ridiculous. All of it. So between this, the lawlessness at the border, I mean, it's shaping up to be a real banner week for the Biden administration. No wonder that he's supposed to be speaking about the economy. Wait a minute. Huh. Interesting timing here.
Isn't it?
Isn't it, though? That's how desperate they are going to speak about the economy. I mean, it still looks, I mean, he's going to be trying to sell you the economy as his kids on a, his baby infant son Hunter's on a gun charge. Tell you what. And he can't. I cannot wait to see if they decide to play hardball, which they're not going to, but let me just speculate for a moment. If they decide to play hardball, you know what he's going to do. They're going to try to go. Let me pull this up. Bear with me for a moment. I'm going to pull this up. You remember the case. This was it ended up going in front of Amy Coney Barrett, actually. And it was a drug case, and it involved firearm possession. And this, I remember this. It was, it really, this was one of the things that made a lot of, it was Cantor v. Barr. No, yeah, Cantor v. It was like a, I believe, it was it Cantor v. Barr? Let me pull up my notes here on this. So you had a couple of different cases, because this is one where she was involved in, and it came up during her hearing for the hearing that she had for the Supreme Court. It was a 2019 dissent. And she believed that the Second Amendment in its wording actually prohibited a blanket ban on firearm possession by people that had, it was Cantor v. Barr, that had felony records. And there was also a discussion there was an offshoot from that that went into drug possession too, because she was talking about, what crime is it that divorces you from your natural exercise of your natural right? And that's ultimately what the crux of the conversation was, because there are, and it's more predominant amongst the capital L libertarian belief set that, there isn't anything that can remove from you a natural right that is affirmed by the Constitution, not even, you know, if you willingly choose to engage in felonious activity, that as even penalty cannot be applied to you, you know, the loss or suspension of your natural rights. And this was something, so this was, it was Cantor v. Barr, and it was the case, it actually had to do with mail fraud, and it was a guy who was like defrauding Medicare, and it was like these therapeutic shoe insert things that he, and because it involved the mail, it was a federal issue. And so he ended up being convicted, and then he was contesting his inability to own a firearm because he had this felony conviction that rendered him a prohibited possessor. And so there was this huge debate as to, well, what type of felony conviction? Is there a line that someone draws? What if it's just like white collar crime? What if it's a nonviolent felony? I mean, should we have like a blanket? You know, if you have, it, usually it's like if, you know, the felony penalty or a penalty that has any kind of jail time being a year minimum or more, that would render someone a prohibited possessor. So there was a huge debate that came from that. And her response in 2019 on this, and she talked about this during her Senate judiciary, she answered this on her Senate judiciary questionnaire during the whole process pre-hearing. And she listed it as one of the most significant cases that she had heard as a judge. And she actually had said that she does not believe that it is a blanket prohibition on owning a firearm. So the interesting thing is, I think that something like that's going to come in, because there are some people who argue that, well, it's somewhat like as an accessory to Cantor v. Barr, that drug possession itself is nonviolent, even though it's considered felonious activity, depending on, you know, what it is and how much you have. Therefore, because of this, you know, because of, you know, it shouldn't be considered a disqualifying factor in firearm possession or ownership. And that's actually something his legal team, going back to Hunter Biden, his legal team said that they were going to, that they would bring up. So just enjoy that for a moment. Just let that sit and simmer. That's going to be the only enjoyable thing on this, because you know nothing's going to come of it. And I honestly think, I do believe too, that even if they decided to play hardball, they wouldn't, because that would create such a mess for Democrats going into an election year. Oh my gosh. Imagine the president's son arguing that in a major case. The president's son, that actually, depending on how it went, could be, it could just boost 2A stuff. So I'm getting a little Machiavellian about this now. I mean, I loathe the guy. I think he's white trash. I can't stand him. But I want what I want. And if I can use you to get what I want, then, you know, just saying. I know we got to get moving, but James Comer, as Kane reminds, had said that Hunter Biden literally like admitted under oath that he was using drugs at the time. There's no defense of this. Ah, but it's different. Representative Comer knows this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Let's see here. I said yesterday that he was that Mitt Romney was retiring. That's actually, I'm going to keep that verbal typo. It stays. I'm actually sitting here writing something on break, really bratty on Twitter about Hunter Biden and Cantor v. Barr, that whole case. So Arkansas, I told you yesterday was also pushing. Wait, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Let me go back. I got some other stuff. Millions of iPhone owners were warned over radiation levels as France bans a popular model. It's the iPhone 12. That one? That's the one? Are you totally getting radiated right now?
I think.
Are
I
you
have.
Getting the cancers?
Could be.
Get the cancers away.
Could be.
Dude, for real. That's an old phone. So wait, what? That phone, that's the iPhone 12. Wait, let me tell you the story while I'm freaking out about this. Hold on. I just lost it because I'm like, I hit a button in my excitement out of, what is wrong with me right now? Okay, millions of people, they said in France, they banned Kane's phone because they said it's the radiation levels are above the safe threshold. So they've been forced to actually take it off shop shelves by their radiation watch. They have a radiation watchdog. That's the Le Parisien paper. They said concerning phones already sold, they have to take action. You know, they got to recall them. They should do that, blah, blah, blah. They said that accredited labs discovered absorption of electromagnetic energy by the body at 5.74 watts per kilogram during tests with the phone being held in the hand or kept in a pocket. Men, don't storm by your beans. Ladies, don't put them in your bra. You keep your phone in your pocket in the car?
Right there.
How do you do that? Who keeps their phone in their pocket in the car?
It's not my pocket. It's right here.
Why do you keep it there?
For easy access.
Okay, this is like a whole segment. I just ran you through your headlines and I didn't even mean to do that, but holy cow, we got to talk about Kane's phone. We got to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this third hour. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. And of course, you can check out the simulcast and all that kind of stuff of the radio show, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. We've been talking about, in case you just found out, Hunter Biden got indicted, three counts, online on his 4473, being a druggie, knowing that he's a druggie, possessing a gun, all this stuff. He's got three charges. And Kane and I have been venting on break.
Yes. Speculative venting.
Complaining loudly on break about how nothing's going to come from this. I saw a couple of conservatives out there going, well, this is progress. Shut up. No, it's not. Because nothing's going to come from this. You know what? If you ran out in the middle of the road and like did all kinds of, you know, broke the law, you know, twirled around on the stop sign, impeded traffic, went and stole some stuff, threw a gun in a trash can across from a school. If you did all this stuff, you know, swinging a crack rock around with you, you'd be in trouble. Unless you stopped mid-arrest and said, no, my last name is Biden. Then they go, oh, okay. You're free to go. Sorry about that. Goodness. All at the same time, the Bidens are telling people, sending a letter out to the press. You need to ramp up your scrutiny of these lies about our actual actions. They're called truths, but okay. Good heavens. No, there's nothing that's going to come from this. I think that he'll probably get a little kitten and sunshine plea deal, if anything. And then they're going to consider the optic of justice served fulfilled, and that'll be it. That's it. But I will say, just one more time, can you imagine, and that's all you have is imagination with us, the Machiavellian part of me would very much like to see David Weiss go, you know what, I hate everything, I'm going to burn it all down, Joker style, and just play hardball. And Hunter Biden, his legal team already threatened that they would invoke Cantor v. Barr. That was the 2019 Amy Coney Barrett decision. Or she thought that, no, just because not all, you have to be dangerous. Not all felonies mean and a complete forfeit of your Second Amendment rights. And they've already threatened that they would cite that. They would invoke the spirit of that argument, as you could say, in that defense if hardball was indeed played. And I just for a moment, even though it's not going to happen, just indulge me for a second. The amazing poo-nado that would result for Democrats if that happened. Just think of it. I mean, you would have the son of the president of the United States, because, you know, Democrats have been preparing this gun control plank to put out there as a campaign issue, right? They've been getting it ready, dusting it off, getting it ready. And can you imagine throwing a grenade into that narrative? And it's Hunter Biden. He would ruin all of it. And in fact, depending on what ended up happening, you could actually have, you know, that Amy Coney Barrett's decision brought to life as actual judicial ruling. Whew. Imagine that. So just for a moment, just let me enjoy it for a second. Just let me enjoy it for a second. That's all I'm asking. Because it's not going to happen. But that was a threat. That wasn't him saying I would. He would. But that was a threat. That was them threatening. Like, this is what's going to happen if you do this. So Democrats don't want that hot mess. He's the kind of dude who is, you got to keep him happy and occupied, or he's a mess for everybody to deal with. I think that's why they have him doing this stuff. He's like, that's like the Bidens. Like, they're the mess that everybody has to deal with. So keep them occupied. Just for the love. Shove him in the White House. They don't got anybody else left that they can run. They got, you know, Richie Rich out in California, Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, let me go to this. He announced this, Politico, he announced this climate-focused trip to China. And I love the subhead, because you know this came from somebody's campaign. His. The subhead is, quote, "You better believe I coordinated with the White House," he said. Narrator, he didn't. So he said, he immediately, like before, it was like he couldn't just say that he was going on a climate trip to China. He had to go, well, I am going on a climate trip to China. I totally coordinated it with the White House. Hurry up and get that out there. So he's traveling to China, apparently, and it's coming at a very different time than his predecessors, because you've had, yes, Schwarzenegger went, Jerry Brown went, and all this other stuff. But that was like at a way different time where tensions weren't so hot. And you already had some California climate officials. You have California climate officials. I'm sorry, stop. Climate officials. The weather people. Yeah. Love. They went. They just came back last week, right? Didn't they just come back last week from? So I don't know. I don't know. But he's at work on new collaborations. So he's, this is his shadow campaign that he's running. So Democrats are keeping him out there. He's staying busy. You know, he's out there staying busy, doing some things, realizing stuff, Kane. Just in case, they got to call him up, right? They got to call him up from the dugout to go out for Biden, because heaven forbid they can't have Kamala. Can I just say, I can't get over it. I'm actually really disappointed that the thing I mentioned that I've been imagining that you guys indulge me with for a little bit is not going to happen. I'm sad that I don't get it because it's my birthday month. Everybody knows a woman gets a birthday month, right? You guys, you poor men, you get a day. Women get a month, okay? You're like, but you already get a week out of every month. Shh. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's my birthday month. Like, why couldn't I have that, right? Why can't I have things? Why can't I have those things? I want that. We got to talk about the aliens. NASA released a report on UFOs. I am disappointed. Didn't they say that it's boring and that you're going to be, it's just like jets and stuff? Isn't that what they said?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Kind of? Yeah. I think that's what they did say, though. NASA's UFO report. What we learned from the UAP, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, that's way dumber than UFO. UFO is so much fun. UAP sounds too much like a Cardi B song. Stop. I don't want that. Go back to UFO. So I was reading this headline because I've been gobbling this up since I saw the dude who, I cannot get enough of the scientists who presented their little dolls to the Mexican Congress. Guys, I want aliens to be real. Like, don't misunderstand me. I hope that I've met one already. I really do. In fact, I think the guy who is like unveiling them for NASA might be one. Bill Nelson, God love him. But I just think that this is not real. The guy who presented the little dolls in Mexico, they just died and got mummified, laying perfectly straight and still. Just like that. They were like, oh, I guess I'm dying. And they just laid down real straight. It looks like a craft project. My youngest son, and he went to a Christian school. They had an art project. You know, they had to do like these 3D sculptures, right? And other kids were doing, you know, they would do like Bible figures or buildings or something. And my child did the Demogorgon. Yes. Also seen in Stranger Things. He did the Demogorgon. It was really good. And it kind of looks like that. It looks like a kid's craft project. And I love that they're there with their little white coats. They're very serious with our dolls. I felt like I was watching like Antiques Roadshow and not a UFO presentation, right? Like, oh, we found these paper mache dolls. They're actually, I know you think that they're mummified aliens, but it's a child's craft project. We're so sorry.
They look fake, Kane, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
But they were so serious. Like, I really felt like their heart was in it.
They provided x-rays. Did you see
those? I'm sure they did.
Did you see the x-rays?
I'm sure they did. They got the x-rays, sure. And then what is it? The other headline is, the UAP stuff, UFO stuff, it looks like it's just like some it's boring. That's ultimately what they ended up coming out with. Yeah, I was really excited because they had three fingers and they had all kinds of stuff. And it said they had eggs inside. And my first thought was, let's make one. How do you make them? But it looks like a craft project, dude. Juan's showing you a picture of the little one down in Mexico. It doesn't look real. And would you be scared of those? My youngest son has a rule. If you can kick it, then you can't be afraid of it. If it's kickable, there's no fear there. You know what I mean? Like, if you can yeet the damn thing across a room, if it's yeetable, where's the fear? Do you think it looks yeetable? Right, Kane? How they were little bitty.
They're tiny.
Little tiny
they're
things.
They're little bit. They're the size of dolls that you would buy in the store for kids.
Yeah. Which just sounds like a great merch opportunity. But, you know, aside from that, you know, I'm just saying. So they presented this. They got their, so they just, so basically we don't got no aliens, right? He's got the NASA video. But they're not real. Did they say we got them aliens? Is that what they said? They have not said that yet, have they?
No, they haven't. Not officially, no.
They said that they were declassifying a bunch of stuff. The truth is out there. And they have all that, but they said that there's no really evidence that aliens are behind the unexplained phenomena. I don't believe you. I don't think you tell me the truth. But then if the government told me the truth and they said that aliens were real, I would think that they weren't. Because the government told me that they were real. So I would be like, but they're not because you said they were. I don't trust you. So I don't know what to do.
X-rays are convincing, though.
Show me the x-rays again.
I just put it in slides.
Oh, yeah. Those are stupid. That's so stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's not even real. That's not real. But if it was, can you imagine those aliens watching all of us debate over it?
Right.
Like those stupid humans. No wonder they'd lock their door. I wouldn't visit us. That's my sole reason for not believing that any of this is real is because I would not visit us. I wouldn't. I would prefer the darkness of the space, of deep space, than to come down here with people who go apoplectic over what's on syrup or a butter box. There's no way these people get upset with the coverings on their food items. I mean, we literally commit assault over it. Why would you visit us? Oh my gosh. I wouldn't. We just discovered AI, and most of us are too damn involved in other things to recognize when we're reading it. Right? Oh my God. Would you visit us, Kane, if you were an alien?
No. If I saw everything that's going on now, especially in society, no, I would not. I would tell all my other alien family and friends to not also.
Yeah, stay away from that place. Lock your doors. I mean, we have people who... they have Franks and they think that they're not. They cut off their giblets and do some kind of like weird craft project and think that there's something else that they're not. Again, aliens are looking at this going, what the hell? That's why I think it's not real. I would not want anything to do with us unless it was just to like kill us all and take our minerals. That's it. So that's why I don't think that any of this is real, because this would all be just reconnaissance stuff, right? Like these little dudes look like, if they were real, these look like the little reconnaissance dudes. These are the dudes that you send out ahead to gather information. They're probably mummified. They're dead because we killed them because we're so stupid. And they're mummified due to the shock of our stupidity. That's what happened. So that's why I believe that none of this is real. And seen.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So it doesn't matter if you've already been vaccinated. Take no comfort in that. Thank you for getting vaccinated in the past, but that is not protecting you today. You need to know that. You don't have the immunity built up over time. So as the virus evolves, this is where our scientists and researchers and companies have to get ahead of it. The virus evolves, so must our response. So here's the simple message, New Yorkers. Get the vaccine. That is the best way by far to protect yourself and those around you.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, what? I don't think so. You know, it's because you don't have a built-up immune. It's a virus. A vaccine doesn't work on a virus. You absolute lunchbox. It doesn't work. Trying to think of something I can say that will work there as an insult. No. All right, so I'm going to write up a thing. I'll have something coming out for you later about the Hunter Biden stuff, just so you can, you know, have that. You can add that to your info. I'm going to be out tomorrow for a family event. I will be back on Monday, however, behind the mic with you, and of course, following all of the good stuff that's out there. So again, make sure you subscribe to that, and then you can also find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. There is always good stuff that comes out. Like you saw the alien thing. Did somebody ask me? Because I sent the prep email. I had a picture of one of the alien bodies and someone was like, that's not real. I'm like, it is though. I promise you that is the photo that was used. This woman, she emailed me through the newsletter thing. She was like, that's not real. Like I promise you that's actually, it was a screen grab from the actual press presentation that they had in Mexico. I promise you that was the actual image. That's what and she was like, that's a toy. That's not real. It's not real. I don't know that. All right, today's stupidity came.
All right, it's the election denier, Hakeem Jeffries. He's out there, of course. All the Democrats are trying to rally around Biden. You know, we're rolling into another election season. So he's out there saying he strongly supports President Biden and all his success and accomplishments for the American people. And I don't see how you can even say that with a straight face. But listen to this.
I think I said the same things privately that I've said publicly, which is that I strongly support President Biden. He has an incredible track record of success and accomplishments on behalf of the American people.
I don't see how that's
what even accomplishments. Like, is ruining the economy, was that one of the accomplishments? Right. I'm just wondering. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful evening. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. Find us on Facebook and YouTube and over at Substack. Go subscribe, Chapter and Verse. Have a great night.